Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time of rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. In your presence is the fullness of joy, really. The right hand of our precious forevermore. Thank you for all this wonderful testimony we have just had, Lord. Not to fret ourselves, but to constantly rest in the Lord. Lord, thank you for the testimony. Bless you the glory of the Lord. Father, as we read your word this morning, Lord, bless the reading of this Father. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and help us that it be mixed with faith in our lives, Lord. Father, we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So this morning, Christ delegated omnipotence to the church. Whether we know it or not, Christ delegated omnipotence to the church. Before I get to the omnipotent attribute of God, let me talk about two other attributes. Then I will zero in on the subject. Now, there are three unique attributes. There are three attributes that are unique to God alone. Let's talk about omniscience. Omniscience, rather. God is omniscient, that is all-knowing. It's an all-knowing God. No other being has that attribute. He is aware of the past, present, and even the future. There's no future with him. The future is past to him. Nothing takes him by surprise whatsoever. His knowledge is infinite. I'm going to get some scriptures here to back up this attribute of God, trusting that we lift up our faith and our confidence in the Almighty, not only today, but all the days to come. At one time, he took Abraham out, tried to tell him how many his children will be, how many they will be. Genesis 15, the fifth verse. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, talking about the omniscience of God, you know, toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. So God is saying to mankind, not to Abraham alone, that to all generations, that the stars are innumerable to man, as man is concerned. What man is concerned, they can number the stars. Now, ever since science has attempted to do exactly what God said cannot be done by man, trying to number the stars. An ongoing and ever perpetual question is, how many stars are there in the universe, you know? And I try to debate that over, decades and decades and so on, scientific inventions, all kind of telescopes and so on. Their efforts so far, good ideas. I took a good research on this. They are struggling to know how many stars are there in the universe. Look at their dilemma now. God has told them what they cannot do, right? But they won't let go. Tell us, you think this has to start believing God and worship him? Anyway, and then they ran into the problem of defining what is even a universe, really. See? Now they are caught. What is even a universe? What is a universe, really? What does it mean, you know? And then, let's narrow it down, they said. Let's talk about the observable universe, they said, you know. Now, I guess it's something right now. Observable universe. They now know that there are some parts of the so-called universe which they cannot even see with the most powerful telescope, right? So let's talk about how many stars are in the observable universe. So they scale it down a little bit and some of that, you know. And now, this observable universe, they said, appears to go back to 13.8 billion years. This is science now talking, you know. So talking where the Earth is only how many years old, as far as we are concerned. But they are talking about this universe goes to 13.8. That is even an estimate, you know, underestimate, you know. So again, validating the word of God, what God has said already in this word and so on. Then it came to the acknowledgement that the possibility of a multiverse. So universe means one something, right? One space, universe. Now they're talking about multiverse, which is multiple universes. Now they're talking about, you know. So talking about how great our God is. The thing that God has already told us in the Bible and so on. So he's talking about the multiverse, from universe to multiverse. Multiverse meaning many, right? Many, many universes and so on, you know. So now, so which, how many times can you count now? Anyway, so Then they came to the idea that let us estimate the number of stars in a typical galaxy. So they scale it down from the entire in the universe to just even one galaxy. How many stars in one galaxy, you know? So if they know how many stars in one galaxy, like our own Milky Way to the galaxy, then we can now estimate how many galaxies there are, and then multiply in the universe. Then we can multiply to the one in one galaxy, our own, by the number of galaxies that there are. Now they now find that they can't even estimate how many galaxies there are. They are going to 2 trillion galaxies, you know, already, and there's no end to this thing, you know. Exactly what God has said in His word. So the observable universe, they said, they think 2 trillion already and so on. Thirdly, so they have all kind of problem in their hand, you know, so of doing this and so on. Even the so-called multiverse and so on, they do not know there's no end to it and so on. So again, God has told us all these things. So you can't remember the stars and so on. So anyway, here is the latest thing that they found and so on. They have estimated the number of galaxies in the universe, not even counting the likelihood of multiverse, to 10 trillion. That's what they are thinking, you know, 10 trillion. So they are thinking like in our Milky Way, there are 10 trillion galaxies. So, okay, that is true. Then, now, if we now multiply the 10 trillion galaxies, and they say in our own galaxy, Milky Way, there are at least 100 to 200 billion stars, right? Oh, this is our heart. Our heart is nothing. That's a speck of dust, right?
You know. What I'm asking
is,
our
head
is on the
solar
system. Oh,
yes. Yes.
Is that okay that they have
seen the solar system? No. Okay, let me explain. Our heart is part of our solar system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our solar system is just even a backyard, you know, talking about the universe, right? I mean, this is just even our own heart is like nothing, you know. So it's just in our solar system.
Supposed to be using our
back. And there are many other systems like our solar system in the world. I mean, the universe and so on, that, you know, many of them, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so I don't know. I'm referring to you. So
yeah,
I'm referring to you. So. So anyway, our heart is in our solar system. There are 9 planets in our solar system, right? And that's just one system, right? But there are so many other systems, like our own solar system in the universe.
Separate from that one, that's our own.
Yeah, just like a tiny speck of so many other systems, you know, in the what you call the universe, and so on. That's a galaxy, you know. So our own solar system becomes a galaxy, called a Milky Way galaxy. And there are so many other galaxies.
Like that?
Yes. In the universe, you know. So they are thinking that there are 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe. They don't even know how many other universes there are. So in the so-called observable universe, they are thinking 2 trillion galaxies. And so in our galaxy, Milky Way, they are thinking at least 100 billion stars, right? So now, but they are thinking it's up to 200 billion stars in our Milky Way, and that's even underestimated. So now, to now find out, let's say, if you know how many stars there are in one galaxy like our own, which is 100 billion, and I think there are 2 trillion galaxies. So now, multiply 2 trillion by 1 billion. They come up to how many stars? They come up to what they call a septillion number of stars. That is 1 × 10^24 stars in the so-called observable universe, you know. What are we talking about? So we're asking, now they are even saying that in their own words, that is even an underestimate. Where are we going? We are going to the place where God said nobody can number the Okay.
So,
we'll come to that. Just put it down there. I come and draw it later. Just put them there. I'll draw it later. So, praise the Lord. So we can just wrap this up. Then we can just draw on the board. Praise the Lord. So in a nutshell now, so you know, he took Abraham out. Genesis 15. if you can count the number of the stars here, that is a simple statement, right? That is, in human time, it's a complex thing to mankind. God said nobody can count the number of the stars. Mm. So now that's why I found out to you.
So, on
yeah, okay. See, they are telling you only so far. The most powerful can see only so far into the heavens, right? They can see they can see so far. The more they look, the more they see. So there's no end to the thing as far as we are concerned.
So they are now calling observing.
They are now acknowledging that many things that are not of the kind of
thing. They can't see.
Bible says it's visible and invisible.
They cannot really know.
So they haven't discovered yet. One time they only have so many planets, right? In the solar system here. Then they keep on looking. Only in 1930, here in Arizona, they found Pluto. That is 1930. Before that, there was no Pluto, right? They didn't know. The more they look, there is more. There are more to do every day. So now they now come up with an observable universe, you know. And India, they are taking up 2 trillion galaxies, you know, India, you know. So the number of stars in the so-called observable universe is 10 to 24. Power, which is you call this a septillion star. That's even underestimated. What am I talking about? God has told you can never count this thing.
Yeah.
Just wasting your time. But that serve the Lord and worship Him, you know. So anyway, so I'm talking about the omniscience of God. Despite all those things, right? God knows their number, right? There are number to them. So in their own conclusion, the inevitable truth is that what God has already told Abraham and the rest of the people of the world 4,000 years ago, that the stars cannot be numbered by man, not even using the most sophisticated scientific invention of any time. See? But the omniscient God, talking about the attribute of God, right? Omniscient, right? But the omniscient God does not only know their number, no, He knows even give them names. You know? That is in Psalm 147, verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. And great is our Lord. And of great power. His understanding is infinite. See? It's omniscient. All knowing. See? That's what I'm talking about. So before we go to our subject, just this other attribute of God. Now, with their new concept of a multiverse now, they have run to another problem right now. See? What is that problem about? God said the heavens cannot even be measured, right? They are talking about stars now. So the heavens can't even be numbered. So talking about multiverse, from universe to multiverse, means multiple universes. They are front of number right now, you know. God told them before on the same issue that they cannot measure the heavens. It is impossible. In Jeremiah 31:37, thus said the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, so put it simply, and the foundations of the heart stretch out beneath, and we cast off all the seed of Israel for that they are done. The thing is this, God says cannot be measured. And if they have just taken the Bible for what it is, you know, and something about, you know. So and even Jeremiah 31:37, that was his sister. Say does say the law. If they have God himself talking, if they have what can be measured, so they're talking about multiverse, you know, that is me. Numerous universes and so on, uncountable, you know. And even they're not thinking, and they said that even another they had that trouble. And this is even expanding at what rate, at more than the speed of light. That this thing is even expanding and so on, you know. It's just infinite, you know. Exactly what God cannot be measured at all. Isaiah 40 verse 12 says this, who has measured so? And God knows the size of it. God knows exactly how big it is and so on. Because in Isaiah 40:12, He told us so. Meaning God who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and measured out heaven with His span, just like His, just with His hand. And I'm like, you know, all this done infinitely great and I mean so infinite, you know, call it heavens and so on. God by power, and they are all contained in God. So anyway, so the thing about this, about our God, to see how great He is. That we said, no matter what we face on this earth, I will come to that. It's nothing that, you know, what God will do for you and for me, you know. Answer that, you know. Job 28 verse 24. For He looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven. where the atrical cutting will see. God sees every, because he made them, he sees everything. Now, talking about the omniscience of God, right? In 1 John 3:20. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. That's my point. He is omniscient. He knows all things. What can you hide from God? You know, he knows all things. Now, more on the omniscience of God. In Isaiah 40:28, it says this. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? That's omnipotence right here, but I haven't got to this. But look at that one. There is no searching of his understanding. It's infinite, you know. See more on the omniscience of God that we serve. So in Jeremiah, the first chapter, verse 5, God knows all things, right? He knows all things. Before I formed thee, O Jeremiah, or anybody else in the belly, I knew thee, you know. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Those who don't believe in predestination can know that God, before you are ever formed, Bible says we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, it's right there. So Jeremiah, you know, before you are even formed at all, I knew you. I even called you by your name. And what position you will hold in the earth, as well as you know, is the all-knowing God. This will make us to really strengthen our faith in this Almighty Jesus, the Almighty God. Now, Jeremiah 23:24, talking of the omniscience of God. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? God has a question. What can you hide from God? He's the all-knowing God. You know, who knows? Can anybody, whosoever, hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Say the Lord. So, of course, in Psalm 139, which is familiar to all of us, the first six verses, talking of the omniscience of God, you know, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. He knows all things. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Oh Lord, do you know what I'm going through? He knows everything. If he knew before you were ever formed in the womb, what does he not know about you right now that he has formed you and you are here on that? You know my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Even before you, even if you don't talk, you understand our thoughts, whatever we are thinking, he knows all about it, you know, the omniscience of God. Thou compassest my path. Am I lying down? And art acquainted with all my ways. No matter how you do, how you walk, or whatever you think, or you are anything, God knows all about it. Omniscient and some of that, you know. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. He knew all, he is the omniscient God, right? You know, everything. Thou hast beset me behind and before. And lay thy hand upon me. Look at what he said in verse 6. Like any of what we say today. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is I cannot understand it, he said, you know. So praise the Lord. The only time is God. That's because we are serving. Our faith, you know, should rise to receive anything from the Lord. See how great the Lord is. I'm not even touching the tip of the iceberg, really, of how great he is. Now, anyway, in Romans, more of this one, of his omniscience, in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, are unsearchable as judgment, and his ways past finding out. Yes, the omniscience of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things, meaning all things, are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. This is the God you are serving, and it's in you, and it's in me. See how great he is. Isaiah 42:9.
Okay.
Too fast.
Too
fast?
Yeah, I was
taking
one.
Okay. Did you get the one in Hebrews? What
Romans,
I mean?
Romans 4.
Romans 11:33. Yeah, oh, the death of the riches, both of the Hebrews 4:13 say, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Whether macroscopic, it makes no difference. Even when we talk of visible and still invisible, be it the dominions or principalities or powers, I'm just talking right now, you know. So all things are naked before the eye, because the creator of all things, you know. Then Isaiah 42:9, behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they even spring forth, I tell you of them. That's right. In Revelation 19:20, we are told that for the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, before they even sing first, I will tell you all of them, because the future is passing to him, you know. So he is the all-knowing God. Maybe even more or two more about his omniscience of God, and we see that in First Chronicles. David, you know, warning Solomon and so on, planning things to come, and how he should serve the Lord and so on. First Chronicles 26:9. We want to take a flip, I will read part of it. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Now, what's the next thing? For the Lord searches all hearts, and understanding all the imagination of the thoughts. That's God. Praise God. No matter what man can imagine, you know, God knows all of it. Very, very significant to me, and so he is the all-knowing God, you know. So anyway, of course, in Matthew 10:30, even the very ears of your head are numbered. He knows how many ears are your head. You know, what I'm going through, he knows everything. So the very that ear in your head, they don't know how many they are, you know. So I don't know how many computers are going to compute that for you, but God knows how many ears there are in my head and in your head and so that, you know. So don't have to worry about anything or have anxiety, you know. He cares for you and he cares for me. Isaiah 40:13, who has directed the spirit, talking about the omniscience of God. I want to talk about that he has delivered unto us omnipotence, but talking about the other attributes, taking some time, but let me just read one more scripture about the omniscience of God. Isaiah 40:13. Who has directed the spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, has taught him? Can God learn? He can't learn anything anyway, ne? Why are you told to teach God, you know? So, and in verse 14 of Isaiah 40, with whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him? See, Lord, can't lie anything new, you know. That won't be God, you know. He knew all things before the foundation of the world. He knew all things. You know, and so in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge. He is omniscient. Somebody will teach him anything, you know. You can't learn anything new, you know. So no wonder at one time in John chapter 7, when he came to redeem us, the same Almighty God came to redeem us, you know. Bible say during the feast, the Lord entered the temple and so on, and begin to teach in the midst of the feast and so on. In John 7, let me read that one to you and see what they say about him, you know, talking about who can teach him and so on. Then they said in verse 15, the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? God doesn't learn anything. It's the Almighty God. Even in Luke 2, at just 12 years old, you know how they went to the feast and so on. And the so-called Joseph and Mary had gone 3 days back, you know, back before they didn't see him and so on, you know. So they had to go back, and so when they found him back again, what was he? He was talking with the doctors of philosophy and theology and so on. Here what they said about him and so on in Luke 2:46, you know. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him, meaning Jesus, in the temple, see, sitting in the midst of the doctor, 12-year-old, you know, and both hearing them and asking them questions. I think the struggle was all those questions he asked them, you know. They couldn't answer probably any of them. Here is their comment, verse 47. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answer. Praise the Lord. You don't know the book that they are mostly they are reading, that is the author of it, amen. Praise the Lord.
Wow.
So what are you teaching? This is the author, you know, and some of that you know. You already told them one time, say, look, Moses wrote about me. All this that you are taking, you know, that you are debating your something. Moses wrote about me. I gave him that word, you know. Praise the Lord. See, the omniscient God. Let me get one more before I move that away from that one. Acts chapter 1, verse 24. There came the case of Judas, right? You know, who defected according to the scripture. God knew all those things before. And the Bible says that in the book of Acts 1:24, so the disciples, now the 11. Now they know the scripture too, that in this book of Psalms, it is written that, let his become desolate in the book of Psalms. And his bishop prayed, let another person take, right? And then they say that, they know that they have to choose another person to replace Judas. My point is this, in verse 24 of Acts 1, and here is their prayer. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the heart of all men. See, they have planned for Judas, right? They didn't know that he was going to betray Christ until the last moment. He was mixing with them. He didn't want to make any other mistake again, you know. That only God knew the heart of all men, right? You know, so this time they prayed to say, Lord, Thou knowest the heart of all men. So show us which of these two you have chosen, oh Lord, you know. Anyway, the thing is this, is the all-knowing God. Let's leave the omniscience alone. I hope we can get to our subject this morning, that God actually delegated omnipotence to us. Now, how about the omnipresent attribute of God? It means that God is present everywhere at the same time. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's in Nigeria, it's everywhere. So that means omnipresent and present. It means its divine presence encompasses the whole of the universe and even more. I don't know what the universe is, there's anymore, you know. Anyway, there is no location where it does not inhabit. And now, some people came up with a false doctrine. They call themselves the pan-atheists, you know. The pan-atheists, as I spoke to them before, some of our series here, you know, maybe in our Satan and funny thing, you know, they call it pan-atheism, you know, pan-atheism, they call it something. They say that the universe is God, see, and God is the universe. That's a false doctrine, right? God is distinct from the universe. God created the universe. God created the universe. So that's wrong. I ask there, people are believing that too, you know. So anyway, so now, to show that, again, back to Psalm 139, to show that, that no place that God is not. David knew that in verse 7 of Psalm 139, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? God is everywhere, omnipresent, right? If I ascend up to heaven, of course, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, did it say by the Holy Spirit, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So he is in that presence, because no other being has that attribute as only the Almighty God. In Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So his eyes is in every place, omnipresent everywhere. Jeremiah 23:24, which I read before, you know, I will skip that one at this time, because he said, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? So in Job 34:21, yes, 23:24, I read it before, but it's here. So you can have this booklet later. I'll send it to you, but look, if you write it down. So now, and Job 34:21, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he sees all is going, the Lord does. And of course in Colossians 1, verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Call this universe, whatever you want to call it, or what a universe, or whatever you call them, he is everywhere, the creator of all. Of course in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. There are brethren over down in downtown, there are brethren all over the valley having meeting now. He is equally present here. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In Nigeria, in China, even the iron, in the bunker where they are fellowship, God is there. Praise the Lord. And it's just, you know, to build our faith, you know, to the almightiness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we told that with him, nothing shall be impossible unto you and I. Isaiah 43 verse 2. When thou passest through the water, so don't say, oh Lord, do you know what I'm going through? When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. I will be there. And through the river, they shall not overflow thee. This will build confidence and faith, you know. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He told the king of Israel, Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, be strong, and so and you and I today, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not be afraid of them or anybody else. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So he goes with you everywhere and with you always. I come to that only, always to the end of the age. And of course, in Matthew, the next one, really, Matthew 28 verse 20, the commission. No, I am with you always, that to every believer, and so on, let you know, no matter where you are in the world, even unto the end of the world. So, and one more scripture or two on that, on this omni presence of God, that we zero on the last one. Now, between Acts 17, 27, though he be not far from every one of us, that is Acts 17:27. Let me read the over. That they should seek the Lord. If haply they might seek after him and find him. Though he be not far from every one of us. See? So if I speak to you, it's even if you read it, you know. Now one more verse in Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus said the I and the lofty one that inhabited eternity. See that? So that part of your universe is right. Eternity, there's even no concept. That's the only place having the Bible. There's nothing no. It boggles the mind. I mean, I don't care what my talking about eternity. I don't even know how to talk about it, how to measure it, and so on. Right? Anyway, whose name is holy? I dwell in the I and the lofty place with him also, as it is of a contrite and a humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. So let's move to the next one now, and then we're going to see how the Lord, of all these attributes, this is the one the Lord dedicated to you and I as Christians, omnipotence. And I will see how he did it. Now, omnipotent God. God is all powerful. That's what it means. All powerful. His power is unlimited. His power is infinite. That's what omnipotence means, and so on, that you know. And in Matthew 19, 26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. He is omnipotent. Where in that scenario, it's a quick thing that the man will say, oh, what shall I do? I know, to establish the kingdom of God and so on. I've kept the law. Go and say all you have, give to the poor and follow me. The man went sorrowful, you know. In the story of that verse and so on, the Lord said, oh, no, that it is even harder for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than the rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Oh, the disciples say, who then can be saved, Lord? And then the Lord said, well, you know, with men it's not possible, but with God all things are possible. See? So anyway, in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So the angel was telling Mary, young girl of 17 or 18 year old, as far as we can estimate from there and so on, that you know, even your cousin Elizabeth and so on, as in fact maybe who was called barren, right? 6 months ago she got pregnant, you know, who they are breathing off, you know, I cannot have children and so on. So with God nothing shall be impossible. You as a virgin and so on, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee and so on, that you know. So with God nothing shall be impossible, you know. So he is the omnipotent God, all powerful God. Of course, in Psalm 147 verse 5, great is our Lord, and of great power he is omnipotent. His understanding is infinite. And Okay, so now in Job 42 verse 2. I know that thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. He combined the omnipotence and the omniscience attribute of God in one verse right there, you know. Now let me get the last verse in the of his omnipotence in Revelation 19:6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. See, that's the only place, I mean, you use that word right there. Other ones are crafted by men, but they will read in the Bible what they mean, but right now he's zeroing on that word, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, the all-powerful God. Amen. Now, having said all this, a closer look at the words of our Lord Jesus Christ reveals that all the things I've told you about what he can do, like you can't even tell what he can do, all these attributes and so on. So, looking at the word of our Lord Jesus Christ very closely, it shows that he has apparently placed omnipotence into your hand as a Christian and into my hand as a Christian. He did it. You couldn't share, you cannot be aware. No, this is the one that he has shared with us. And I mean, that he delegated unto us. Omnipotent. How did they do it? And it was upon this particular basis that the disciples, that he gave the great commission to the disciples and to the rest of us. In Matthew 28, verse 18. What did he say there? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Omnipotence, right? All power in heaven and in earth. Then go ye therefore and teach all nations. So, now, this omnipotence was given to us. How did they give to the disciples? How did they do it? Through his name. I was just through this morning, singing so many songs this morning by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was just laughing within my spirit that the Lord God Almighty, his spirit is one. All I said all morning to come to this particular phase of the message, and so that's the name of our Lord Jesus. He delegated the omnipotence attribute to us through his name, Jesus Christ our Lord. See? So that's how he did it, you know. So, and let's get some Bible about, you know, around this same thought and some of that, you know. So, the use of his name is the master key to omnipotence. Yes. The use of the name of Jesus by the Christian is the master key to omnipotence. Now, let's see a couple of them here. In John 14:13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, look at that word, whatsoever, ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it, whatsoever, anything. See, like omnipotence itself is in your hand, or ensured in his name, by the proper use his name, and understanding and using his name by faith, and that's how he gave it to us, and so on. And in John 16, verse 23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, that's where it is asked, and so on, whatsoever, my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name, ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These are verses we should be reading when we want to pray and so on, like that, you know, and to remind ourselves that of a surety, inasmuch as what we are asking for is in the will of God, and we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's guaranteed, you know, and so that, you know, how to deliver this into our hands, omnipotent and so on. The same chapter 26 of John 16, and that they keep on repeating the same thing. That's what I'm telling you now. There are in that chapter 16 of John, hearing the secret, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. That's why he delegated the omnipotence to the believer, you know. I keep on saying the same thing. At that day, ye shall ask in my name. See, it is in the name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because he hath loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. See? Now, in Mark 16, the one that everybody knows, which is good, 17, and this time shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, all this in his name. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All this is tied to the name of our Lord Jesus. Exactly the thing that he was doing here, right? All this that he mentioned here is what he was doing. So he dedicated it to us. The same, you know, if you want to, you know, the same thing that he was doing in his ministry. All of it, as you know, has given it to us and so on. So, you know, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is the means by which he has delegated omnipotence to the church. Now, all these above, you know, verses that I just read to you clearly carry the implication of the tremendous power represented in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was the name that gave power to the credentials of the apostles. All over the book of Acts, you know, it's all tied to the name of Jesus. All the signs and miracles, you can see it right there. And they used that power with an abandonment that is absolutely thrilling. What do I mean by that? They just abandoned it, you know, to that name. Come what may, you see, and it never failed them for one day, amen? Praise the Lord. It's an example to us, and something that, you know, that we should follow after their footsteps, you know. The foundation of the apostles and the prophets, the Lord Jesus taught that his name represents omnipotence. He taught us that, right? How did he do it? Because I read it before, so you, 28th of Matthew, all power is given unto me. That name, Jesus, represents omnipotence. And he has given you and I that name. Use in our prayer, use over demoniacal forces and all the powers of darkness. I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. You know, I don't know about that. So it's all tied to that name, you know, dedicated unto us. Omnipotent. This means that no power in the universe, you know, can thwart or prevent the believer who uses this name of our Lord Jesus Christ from having the prayer, your prayer or answer. Let me say it again. This means that no power in the universe can thwart or prevent the believer who uses his name, this name, from having the answer to his prayer. I mean, answer, assuming, of course, that he is asking in the will of God. No power at all and so on. If you stay there are times where we just walk away from the answer, right? Because it doesn't come in our own timing, right? That's not the fault of God. If you stick with the word of God, Jesus, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, if it is the will of God, it must surely come to pass, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All the other worries, just wasting my time and your time, amen? Just add to the word of God, whatsoever, you call it anything, whatsoever. So if it has been known that it's the will of God, say put it there, amen? It shall surely come to pass. So that's what the Bible says. So the name of Jesus was so powerful in the hands of his disciples because they understood that through this name, the Lord Jesus gave the power of attorney to the church. We all know people in the medical science, what attorney means and so on, a representative that can take action on behalf of somebody else, you know. He delegated it to us, you know. And there are so many other Bible verses about that and so on, you know. This means we have the authority to act on the behalf of Jesus, you know. Even in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ, right? So, all these things he has given to us. We know that we know these things and we have experienced them. The thing is to go No, we have not really arrived either. You know, we could go deeper and make it more consistent. Amen? Praise the Lord. Make it more consistent. Anyway, in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. All these words, whatsoever, I mean, it's what he said, you know? And why we are all convinced that Christ entered into the realm of omnipotence, we all know that, we are all powerful and so on. Most of us do not realize that the Lord Jesus intended his followers to do the same. You know? Yeah, but we know John 14:12. You know, sometimes it's just in our head up there. Yet, that is what the Lord meant when he said in John 20:21, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Is that same simple? But Satan has complicated it for the church. It's so simple. Too simple to be true, but it is the truth, right? You know. So the more we meditate on these things, the more you be quick to us, the more frequent we see them happen. If We are enjoying it, but we won't be here today. Praise God. Mm-hmm. We are saying that there is more to it than we know today or we are acting upon today. That is the thing. You know, there is more to what we have than, you know, than it's like you have maybe $1,000, you don't know all about it, right? But I don't, you know, you're only using $100 out of that, you know? That's what I'm trying to say, you know? So anyway, so one of these seven promises that I just read to you today, involving the name of the Lord Jesus, is in Acts 16:4, where I say, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So the implication, or if I want to call this a staggering implication of this promise, is that the Lord Jesus gives us the use of his name, you know, of the name of omnipotence. How he sees all the things that you can do in his name, they are just so fantastic. Whatever the Lord can do, he says you can do it also, you know. That's what he says, because in John 14:12, he said that, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the word that I do, shall he do also, and a greater work than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. That is omnipotent deliverance of your hand and my hand, in the name of Jesus. He told them, if I have never done among them those things which I have been done by any man, then they have no sin. You see? So I think you can do the same thing, right? He has given you omnipotence. Whether we are using it or not, or we don't know, or that's a different story, right? So he did what no man has ever done. And he said, whatever I do, you can do also in my name. And that is the thing I'm trying to say this morning by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so anyway, some of us at times, we have experienced the authority, yes, otherwise we won't be here today. We are using it. I'm saying we're not using it enough, you know, invested in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in our generation, yes, we are seeing the blind, you know, made to see again in the crusade and so on. We are seeing the deaf hear opened, yes. We are seeing the lame walk. Thank God for that. Right in our time, demons have been, possessed people have been set free. Thank God we see that. And even death has yielded to the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them in our generation, we've seen that, praise God. Nevertheless, the church, to a great extent, has not taken a permanent place, that's what I mean by consistency, in the privileges of the name of the Lord Jesus, to abide and enjoy the fullness of his mighty power. That is the challenge, that is the thing we are challenging ourselves. And we have to do it all the time. Yes, thank God we have been enjoying it, but we're not doing enough. We're not enjoying the fullness of what we have. See? Now, God's children are only slowly, I will call it slowly, I qualify, grasping the full impact of the truth that Satan is paralyzed. You know what I think about that one time? I think that it's like kicking a ball. No? Kicking the ball, wasting your energy of Satan. It's a defeated foe, you know? You know, yes, we have an encounter. We all do it and so on. You know, I can't, but you know, when we know our standing, you know, he's just a defeated foe. He has been stripped of his power, of his armor. And, you know, he's a fallen foe before the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's why I say my name is kind of devil, right? So, and, I want to quote a notary minister, I don't even remember his name and so on. That's what he said about long ago and so on. It's got to be with his reward now. He said this, talking about Satan and so on, I cannot conceive how a successful work can be done today, or how believers can be in the place of continual victory, unless they know that the source of their danger lies in demoniacal power, and that the power to conquer it is in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. So sometimes we attribute our trouble to somebody over there. But the real thing is that, you know, demons are behind the throne that Christian has and something like that. That's what he's saying here. So, and that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what hierarchy of demonic thing that attack us, we are able to overcome them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. So praise the Lord Jesus. So in other words, in Philippians, I finish up this morning, 3:12, what I'm saying, not as though, that thank God we come a long way, the church has, thank God for that and so on. But even as the apostles said here, and the Bible says here, not as though I had already attained. Either we are already perfect. Yeah, we've got much things going on. Thank God for it. Like I read before, we've seen the dead race, we've seen the blind see and things like that, you know. But things that we see more in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, but I follow after. You know, so what he's saying, so we should keep on going. In the name of our Lord Jesus, to realize the fullness, you know, of that which the Lord has delivered unto us. Whatever he was able to do here, he said we can do it also and so on. So in praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are acting as his representative. We are taking the place of the absent Christ. Where is his presence? It's invisible, but he's here, you know, using his name and authority to fulfill his will on earth. We are acting on the power of attorney that he gave us to carry out his will on earth. So that is the key to omnipotence, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning as I close here, what is our need? Either today or tomorrow, what is my need? What is your need? It is salvation of our unsaved friends or even family and things like that, you know. What is the need? After I've shown and read all of this omnipotence of God, of his attributes and so on, is this prayer for the healing of a sick person that we know at a distance? What is the need? Or is it a deliverance from for ourselves for some chronic affliction? What is it? Or perhaps maybe a serious financial problem? What is it? You know, after we have known the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, so whatever our needs may be, we can take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ as we use his name, just as if he were present in person. And this is really true, you know. We can really practice daily the Lord's presence. It makes prayer easy. You know, I said I'm with you always. So now we speak to him as if afar off, he's in heaven. Yes, he's in heaven, I know that. You know, but right here, he's even in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. So get more and more acquainted, you know. So you are breathing the here, you don't see the here, how much more the Almighty God, you know. So I think prayer becomes easier. And this by even practice, when you do that, it stands before you. When I speak to my brother now, or you are here, we are all here. The same thing, even more also. You know, the Lord is with us. And so just relax yourself in your prayer. So now, finishing. In the healing of the man, let's see how, about two or three in the Bible, how they practice these things, and doing the same thing the Lord did and so on. In the healing of the man lame from the mother womb, at the gate called the Beautiful, which we all know in the book of Acts, as I say it, but actually, he didn't even pray for this person. He didn't even pray for him. You all know the story, right? He just said in Acts 3:6, what is the thing? The omnipotent deliver to the church. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. See? That's omnipotent, you know. He was born lame from the mother's womb. See? Which power of man can do that? The power of our Lord Jesus Christ and so on. And the same name given to you and I. Yeah, we've done many things by God's grace, but I think that there is still much more we can accomplish. You know, that's what we are talking about, you know. So anyway, so Peter just what did Peter know? He recognized all of them the authority that Christ had given him and vested in that name. It's in the name. You know, I know we pray the name of the Lord all the time. I want to be more conscious of the infinite power that is in that name. You know, that's what I'm talking about this morning, so that, you know. So sometimes you just say it and so on. Yeah, thank God. See? So, but you have to be more conscious of it. Now, later on, you know what I was talking about? When people were wondering what happened to this man and so on, he now said, look, it's not about holiness. If you are waiting until you are holy before you can do this thing, you never get to do that, amen. Christ is our holiness, amen. Not by our holiness, he said in Acts 3:12, or by our righteousness that this man was made whole. But the thing is, it's the name of Jesus in verse 16 of Acts 3. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man stronger, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness. So the name of Jesus is all tied to the name of Jesus. The same brother Peter, another occasion, while they was going through Lydda, in the city of Lydda, and Bible says he found and healed a man, you know, who have been paralyzed for 8 years, you know, so the power in the power of omnipotence. Just saw the man, right? You know, let him pray again. That is in Acts 9:33. Let me read that one to you. To the power, the omnipotence. Acts 9:33. And there he found Peter in Lydda, that is in the city of Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aenas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aenas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and take thy bed. And he rose immediately. See? Omnipotence, right? That's what the Lord said, what do we do? That is the power in that name. That is the realm we should be traveling in this place and so on. Can you just see yourself walking? Maybe you are walking in the street or something. You see a blind man. If God so move on you, see? Just, all is in the name of Jesus. You don't even pray for the person. Just say the name of, that is where the omnipotence is, like the name of Jesus. Now, and of course, Apostle Paul, I got too much scripture to close here. Apostle Paul, so is it Peter only? No. You know, even Apostle came later and so on, that, you know, deliver a damsel, you know, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the spirit of divination. That's in Acts 16:16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, the Bible says, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought our masters much gain by soothsaying. The same follow us, and Paul, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. We have had this scripture many, many times here. Sorry for my brother, you like this scripture. Anyway, and this did she many days. But Paul being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, he didn't talk to the guest, he spoke to the unclean spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. Bible says, and he came out the same hour. Praise the Lord. Omnipotent. He that believeth on me, see? The same work I did. They do also. So we see each other, they do this kind of song. So in Philippians 2:9, closing here, keep on saying close, I think that's it. Philippians 2:9. We are for God. Also talking of omnipotence in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has highly exalted him, that name, and given him a name which is above every name. Call it demon, call it Lucifer and so on. You know, above every name. That at the name of Jesus, is that power, that where the omnipotence is now, the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, whether it be president or whatever it is and so on, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Some rendering call it of beings in heaven, and of beings on earth, and of beings under, meaning in hell, anywhere they may be and so on, that you know, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God. So it's all in the name, the power. The only thing I said in the name of our Lord Jesus. So today, the use of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the matter key to divine omnipotence. All power is said in heaven and in earth is given unto me, he said in Matthew 28:18. So today, let us begin to use that name in a different way, in a different understanding. You know, that's what I'm talking about. We'll be using it every day in our prayer, but with a greater understanding of what we're really talking about. The spiritual world knows it. Praise God. Demons know it. Of course, demons say, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, right? Say they know it in the spiritual world. Praise the Lord. It's effective. Only we thinking that, no, it's very, very effective, and so on, that you know. And so let us begin to use that name in a different understanding this morning as we go forward and so on. And in that name, nothing shall be impossible unto us. Whatever it see that is in the will of God to be done, shall be done. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we worship and we ask. So how much he loved us. Yes, omnipresent, yes. You know, omniscient, all-knowing. Then one of the one, omnipotent. Then that one you dedicate to us to continue your work on earth. You are the head and we are the body. Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for how much, how far the church has gone. And we know we still have much to do, Lord, in a very short time, Lord. But Lord, oh God, because you are with us, Lord, this work shall be finished. This gospel shall be preaching to all nations. The end shall come. And we are near to it right now, Lord. So therefore, Lord, every one of your children everywhere, Lord, this name, Jesus Christ our Lord, give us this understanding of the infinite power, the omnipotence that is tied to that name, Lord. We can overcome anything and everything in this name. Lord, grant this knowledge and revelation to all that are called by your name, Lord, all over the face of the earth. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Even our prayer life is changed as we pray with a better understanding, pray with understanding of the infinite power in this name, Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for the reading of your word, and we know, O Lord God, we meditate on these things, Lord, O Father. Lord, many, many blessings await us that we have today. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Yes. Yes, go ahead.